Bonjour, aloha, hello. Any other ways to say hello that you know? What?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. Anyways, hope you guys are having a good day.
Yes.
We certainly might be.
I
I
don't
don't
know. I've had
actually
a
know.
pretty decent day. I've been researching
I've had an
this
okay
case
day.
all day.
I
Yeah,
threw my
I've
back
had a good
out, so
day.
that's nice.
That's always fun.
Yeah,
Are you
it hurts. But it's good.
okay?
We're all good. Okay is a very strong word for. So I guess the answer is I think I pulled a
Well,
muscle in my
maybe.
back and it hurts to breathe, but other than that, we're all
Oh,
good.
we're doing great.
It's happened a few times. This
Yeah, we've all
probably won't
been
be the
there.
last.
So yeah, that's how your day went.
Yep.
I had a pretty good day. I actually spent really the whole day researching this case.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but it's really hard to research just because it didn't affect me on a level as that one case did. I don't know why, but the Casey Jo's daughter case really bothered me. I think it was because seeing those tapes, man, this one was like hard.
What does my cat have on his nose?
I don't
Lulu.
know. Okay, so as you know,
As I know, do I know?
I mean, I think you should. This month's theme is
Oh,
kidnapping. So,
Louie, spit it out. He
what the
just ate
heck did your cat
styrofoam.
eat? Anyway.
I think he ate styrofoam.
Oh,
That's what it looks like. I've been trying to catch him for like 10 minutes.
okay, so should we get started? Because it's a long story.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the Toolbox Killers.
That's
Do you know them?
no, but that sounds
Oh, you're in
suspicious.
for a treat. Would you like to do the warnings for today? You usually know them anyway.
Gore, murder, rape, death.
Yeah.
Really?
That
All of
about
those
sums it
were
up.
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
About sums it up.
Well, damn, this is gonna be a
Last
real
week we
sad
didn't have murder.
case.
Last week we didn't have murder, but today we have a lot of it.
Do
All
we
but one
have.
person dies.
Oh! Hey, at
Yeah.
least one person doesn't.
Yeah, they actually wind up being very helpful. So, let's get started.
Okay.
So, the Toolbox Killers, their names are Lawrence Bittaker and Roy Norris.
Okay.
This is one of the very few, I think this is
Can
maybe
you
the
name your
third.
kid Lawrence and Roy?
What else do you
You
expect?
know, no, because like Roy's
Yeah.
not.
It's kind of
I
cute. It's
don't
kind of like
know.
reminds me of a lion.
Lawrence just strikes
That's
me as
just
a
rough.
scary. But you know, I've met nice Lawrences.
But anyway, so I think this is our third like duo we've had. We had Ken and Barbie, we had the Clutter Family Murders. I think this is the third one.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not a big deal. So I'm
It's
actually gonna start at the end of the story, right before the pair got caught, and then work my way back.
That's kind of weird, but
Well,
okay.
it just works that way, okay?
Okay.
So on October 30th,
I thought you were about to
1979.
say third. I was like, no, bitch,
No.
no.
Did
Not doing that today.
It's so interesting. I'm like, oh, that's my birthday, or oh, that's my mom's birthday, or something. Like, Rich Ramirez on two separate years killed someone on my birthday. I
Damn.
mean, I wasn't alive then, obviously, but it's like, oh, that's interesting. Anyway, that's not the point. We're not talking about him today. So, a 16-year-old girl named Shirley Lynette Ledford was walking home after getting into a fight with her boyfriend while they were at a
Oh,
Halloween party.
poor girl. I hate that
So,
for her.
halfway into her walk, a
Oh, wait,
regular.
she's the one that doesn't die, right?
You'll see. Halfway
Damn.
into her walk, a regular at the restaurant she waitressed at, his name was Larry.
Larry, Gary, Barry, Mary.
He pulled up next to her and asked if she needed a ride. Since she
Oh.
was tired and she knew him, she got into the, listen to this, van. How many times did I say not get into sketchy vans?
Well, when was this? This was like what, the 90s?
Yeah, it was in 79.
Oh. Sketchy vans back then were just normal. Come on, man.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just looking at it, it's like, honey, you went to a sketchy van? We don't do that.
Is that dumb? Yes. Have we learned our lesson? Yes.
Yes. It was the 70s. You know, back in those days, it was normal to, like, hitchhike and stuff, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or catch a ride with someone, you know? But,
yeah, you didn't have phones, so I mean.
So, yeah, she was tired, she knew him, so she got into the van. Within 5 minutes, Bittaker, he was the one driving, he pulled over, and Roy Norris, Jesus, that was really difficult, came Roy from Norris? The back of the van and grabbed yes, and grabbed her from behind and dragged her to the back of the van. Shirley hadn't even know that he was there. She thought it was just Lawrence in the car, but it wasn't. It also wasn't a car, it was a van. Okay. So, Bittaker then turned on a tape recorder. Gives me very strong Ken and Barbie vibes right there. But anyway, the torture and murder of Shirley Ledford was recorded. Which is...
Oh, so she did die.
Yes. It was very...
Right after she got in a fight with her boyfriend.
Yeah. Great. Imagine being him. That's rough.
Yeah. I would not be happy. With, like, my boyfriend, and then went and got murdered, you know. I'd hope that he'd think, oh, I was wrong. Or, like, you know, at least be a little sad, so... So I'd hope
if you get murdered, if your boyfriend's not a little sad, there's something wrong with that. He should be
unless
very sad.
Unless your boyfriend murders you, that's
well, if your boyfriend murders
story.
You, he's not a good person. He was not the right one.
Yeah, no duh. I mean, he was the right one to, you know, get you, but.
Not the right one.
Not the right one. If you're scared that your boyfriend's going to kill you, please call,
Get help.
Yeah, call 911 if you can. If not, pretend you're ordering a pizza.
Well, pizza sounds
kidding.
Really good.
It does.
Anyway,
help, Brianna?
The two took turns hitting her with hammers and other tools. They took turns hitting her with hammers
Brianna
and other tools.
Twice if you need help.
Hey, isn't that from the State Farm commercial? Jake from State Farm.
Are you okay?
Let's get back to the story.
Are you like being held
hostage? No, I'm actually sitting in my room quite comfortable. I'm watching Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo-Doo.
Let's get back
Where
to the story.
Where are you?
Because it's a long one. Okay. So, they took turns hitting her with hammers and other tools, which is kind of, you know, they're called the toolbox killers. What can you really expect from that?
Well, we could expect good people, but I... Didn't.
You don't get that. This is why our podcast exists. So, in the recording, you can also hear
our podcast exists for other reasons.
Like, ever since I started doing this, I've been very... Every little noise, I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna die.
Anyways, continue.
So they also each took turns raping her. This is very... I cannot. It causes me pain.
It causes you pain.
Yes, you're gonna hear this. Bittaker then took pliers and ripped her nipples off. He did this to all of their victims.
See? Right there. Ow. Ow.
I know.
Ow. You know what? But no, because I feel like a lot of women just have to do that with, like, babies. Because, you know, like, when they get teeth. So I don't know.
These are pliers and they'd be ripped off.
Well, yeah, but babies' teeth.
Honey, this is different.
I know this is different, but I'm trying to make
serious,
it so much painful.
It gives me a serious Ed Gein vibe.
Ew, I hate that name.
But they didn't keep it. I'm like,
wait, don't all serial killers get... Anyways, continue.
So, the tape recorder was then turned off, and the two decided that instead of taking her body to the San Gabriel Mountains, where they had murdered and dumped bodies of previous victims, they decided to dump her body in a stranger's front yard.
Damn!
Because they want to see, you know, all the media excitement.
I wouldn't want that.
So,
dumbasses.
They picked a random yard in Hermosa Beach. The body was discovered early the next morning by a jogger who immediately called authorities.
Well, I'd hope so.
Well, yeah. The investigation led the police to Roy Norris's front door.
Ha ha ha!
So, earlier that month, someone had actually reported the two, but those claims were never looked into. The killer was named... We'll get to her story later. But anyway, the killer was named the Toolbox Killer, because the police just thought it was one perpetrator, but soon they found out about the second one.
How?
So let's get into the backstories of these people. So, Lawrence Bittaker was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and was immediately put up for adoption by his biological single mom. Messes
kids up. I don't know. Being put up for adoption really screws with your head, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I feel bad for people.
Like, his mom was a single mom. Now you're
making me feel bad for a serial killer.
Don't feel bad for a serial killer. He's a disgusting, terrible person.
Yeah, but it's still sad. He had a sad little life.
Well, I'm glad he
did.
Well,
no, did he find a family?
Yeah, so he was adopted by a family within the family, like an aunt or an uncle. They were neglectful. They didn't show love.
Poor baby.
He didn't get birthdays, which is not an excuse to go kill people.
Okay, but a lot of kids don't get, like, was it a religious thing?
I don't know. They just didn't pay attention to him, so probably not. Anyway, so his father, or adoptive father, George Bittaker, worked for an aircraft factory. I think you can
just call him the father, because...
Well, like, yeah, but I want to make...
Even if you're adopted, that is still your parent, so we could just go with father.
But I just want to make it clear.
Yes, we understand.
That, you know? Yeah, that's
why I'm talking like there are multiple people here. They're not. I can't say the same about Brianna, because I still never got an answer about, you know,
I'm sitting alone in my room. I'm fine. So, his father worked for an aircraft factory. This caused the family to move around a lot. They moved to several states before settling in California.
Okay.
His lifelong run-ins with authorities started at age 12. He had been arrested many times for mostly petty crimes.
I didn't just fart. I opened something.
Okay, I was drinking water and it sounded like I did, so. He had been mostly arrested for petty crimes, such as stealing from a convenience store. By age 17, he dropped out of high school. He had an IQ of 138, which is pretty much genius level. He dropped out of high school because it was too boring, and he said he knew everything his teachers were telling him. A pretty lame excuse, but okay.
I mean, it's understandable.
After he dropped out, he was sentenced to 2 years in juvenile prison for auto theft, evading arrest, and leaving the scene of a hit and run.
God.
Just 2 days after getting out of jail, he was arrested again by the FBI in Louisiana for stealing another vehicle and driving across state lines.
God,
he was sentenced to 18 months in prison. This goes on for a while, just saying. So, halfway through his sentence, he was transferred to a psychiatric facility for good behavior. While in this facility, he was diagnosed with being paranoid, borderline psychotic, and extremely manipulative. He was released after serving only one third of his sentence.
Okay.
When psychiatrists no longer saw him as a threat to society, which they were incorrect. Just saying. In 1961, he was sentenced to 1 to 15 years, which is so stupid.
Oh my God.
But anyway.
That's a real big gap.
Yeah. So anyway, he was sentenced to state prison for another auto theft. He was released after 2 years. He violated his parole in 1963 and was put back in jail again.
God dang.
This is how the next couple of years in his life went, in and out of jail for minor crimes. In 1975, he was arrested for stabbing a grocery clerk. After he had attempted to steal a steak from the grocery store, the clerk had tried to stop him, so Lawrence stabbed him. The man didn't die. Lawrence was sent to California Men's Colony. This is where he met Roy Norris. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. Let's see. So, let's talk about Roy Norris now. He's a character. Roy was born in Colorado.
Is he, like, really smart or really dumb?
I mean, he's pretty stupid, it seems to me, but I mean, I don't know anything about him.
No, like, his IQ. Is there anything about his IQ?
That's not really known, I don't think. I don't know. I mean, I didn't see anywhere. But anyway, so, not much is known about his childhood.
Sorry, I'm gonna stop talking.
not much is known about his childhood, so that probably means, you know, nothing really remarkable happened. He apparently came from a loving household. This is really one of the only things I can actually find. This is one of the only things I could really find about his quote-unquote childhood. When he was 16 years old, he tried to molest his younger cousin on multiple occasions. His dad and uncle figured out about this, however, and beat the crap out of him. Like, they should have. Sounds like
somebody else we know.
Oof.
Sorry.
Long I'm sorry. Story.
Different case. Very different case.
Anyway,
there was
no
murder in that one. Hopefully.
I really hope not. At age 17, he joined the military. He spent most time in San Diego. He was also in Vietnam for a short amount of time, but while he was there, he didn't see any combat. So in 1969, he was arrested for an attempted rape. 3 months later, while he was out on bail, he broke into a woman's home and attempted to rape again. Police came in and stopped him in time. Yeah, in my mind, he's not very smart, like I said, but anymore, we're not getting into that. He was discharged from the Navy for having, quote, psychological problems.
Mans was in the Navy? Sounds like the same case.
Love you, Jackson.
Okay.
This is, like, concerningly similar to the case I'm thinking about.
Oh my god, this is insane. While on bail, he nearly killed a female San Diego College student. He randomly jumped on top of her, grabbed her hair, and repeatedly slammed her head onto the concrete. Because she lived, though, he was only charged with assault with a deadly weapon. I guess they count the concrete as a deadly weapon. He spent 5 years in a Tescadero State Hospital. Ed Kemper had actually been there as well.
Ed, isn't that another serial killer?
Yes. That text, okay. Oh my god.
I'm a little concerned.
I'm gonna say not. I mean, okay. I don't know though. I don't really know much about the person. He stayed there until he was deemed no longer a threat to society. Once again, incorrect.
Okay, why are they, like, if this man has been, like, deemed a threat to society multiple times, maybe he's a threat to society.
Oh, he's definitely a threat to society.
I mean, he killed a few people.
Yeah.
And he has Navy training.
So,
like, what?
1 month after he was released, he beat and raped a woman. He was sent to the California Men's Colony where he met Lawrence Bittaker. So, this is interesting. It's not really interesting. It's actually terrible. So, Roy and Lawrence met because Lawrence noticed how outgoing Roy was. He himself was pretty quiet. The two began smoking weed together in jail. They also would make jewelry together.
Are these guys, like, in love? Or am I reading too much into this?
They are not together.
Okay.
But... So after a few months, Roy started talking to Bittaker about his sexual fantasies. Are you looking it up?
No, I'm just looking at their faces because I needed to know what they looked like.
Yeah, that's looking it up.
Okay, anyways, continue.
So they both began talking about the rape fantasies they had, the type of girls they were into. Norris told Bittaker how he enjoyed seeing women terrified. After many conversations like this, the two decided to form a plan. They decided that once we were both released from jail, they would meet up, rape, and torture teenage girls.
Damn.
And then they got out of jail. But you can see where this is going. So, after being paroled, Bittaker got a job as a machinist. He was making $1,000 a week, and this was in 1978, so that's a good bit of money. So, 2 months after he was paroled, Roy Norris was also paroled. He got a job as an electrician. He was also making a good amount of money.
This is getting a little scary. Huh. It
gets worse. So, in February of 1979, the two reconnected and put their plan in motion.
That's not good.
Well, no, it's not good. Originally, they thought about buying a cabin in the woods to commit their crimes in, but they decided against it, considering it might be easier to catch them. So they decided to buy a 1977 GMC cargo van that had no side or rear windows.
I don't like where this is going.
No. So when Vinegar was in prison, he remembered a place he used to clean. It was an area in the San Gabriel Mountains. He thought this would be a perfect place to dump bodies since it was very remote and heavily wooded. There was a fire road in the mountains that had a padlocked gate. They decided to break the padlock on the gate, buy their own lock. They each had a key to. So now the people that need the access to the road no longer have a key. So the first few months, they would go to the beach and take pictures of teen girls. They decided they would target these teen girls because they felt adult women were too street smart and would be able to put up a fight. But younger girls were too weak.
Okay.
Originally, they were only targeting girls with blonde hair and blue eyes, but after a while, they just took every opportunity.
Glad I had neither of those.
So, let's see. We're getting to the murder. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Because I'm not. So, on June 24th, a little my birthday. This is actually four days before my birthday. So, on June 24th, 1979.
Wait a minute. Yours is the 20th?
28th. So, you don't know my birthday?
I'm not good with dates. I thought with my mother about when her birthday was. I told her it was the 24th, and then it was actually the 21st. So, I fought with her for about an hour.
They abducted their first victim, 16-year-old Cindy Schaefer, who they took off the streets while she was walking home from church. They duct taped her mouth, raped, and tortured her. They took her body and dumped it at the canyon where the fire road was.
Mams was just trying to, you know, like...
be religious. Yeah. And then she died. Like, that's rough, man.
God. You really gotta do this? Come on.
The next month, on July 8th, they kidnapped 18-year-old Andrea Hall. Once again, they both raped her, tortured her with multiple different tools, and killed her, dumping her body in the canyon. Damn. Next. On September 3rd, they kidnapped two girls, 15-year-old Jackie Gillum and 13-year-old Leah Lamp. Damn. The girls were waiting at a bus stop when the two men took them, held them captive for two whole days. They repeatedly raped and tortured them. They recorded the entire thing.
I don't like that. That is no.
Well, no, of course not. So they kill him by stabbing her in both ears with an ice pick, which is a very slow, painful death. Which doesn't that remind you of something else? What else have we talked about on this show? Oh yeah, guiding a pen through his ear.
Yeah, a little bit. A few times.
An ice pick would be worse. I think an ice pick would be way worse. It was also both. So anyway, Lamp was struck in the head with a sledgehammer and strangled. They dumped both bodies. Maybe we should strike
these guys with a sledgehammer.
They deserve it.
I mean, they're already dead, but like...
Yeah, I think they're both dead. They dumped both the bodies in the mountains as well. On September 30th, they abducted their fourth victim, Shirley Sanders.
God damn, how many did they kill?
That's a good question. I think they killed five. Two, three, four. Yeah, they killed five. One survived. So, on September 30th, they abducted their fourth victim, Shirley Sanders. She was walking down the street when the van pulled up to her and Vinegar asked if she wanted a ride. She declined. She's smart. However, not accepting this, Roy jumped out of the van and sprayed her in the face with pepper spray, grabbed her, and threw her in the back of the van. Sorry, that made me laugh, and I don't know why. Yeah, that is a little rude. They both drove around taking turns raping her. They were not paying attention for a split second, and she jumped out of the moving van and ran away. They were not able to catch her. She went straight to the police, but she didn't have a license plate number, and she wasn't able to give them a description because she had been sprayed with the pepper spray. The only thing she could tell the police was there was a silver van.
Okay.
The police The police did not investigate this. They only made a report.
Assholes.
What happened? Filming. So, Roy and Lawrence assumed the police would be after them since the girl had gotten away. But days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into a month, and nothing happened. So they decided it was time to strike again. This brings us to the murder I told you at the beginning of Shirley Lynette Ledford.
Yeah.
So, on October 31st, you know, Halloween, I think it's appropriate you found a dead body.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I just, whatever just happened was funny to me.
So, the jogger found her body, and the media became a frenzy.
Not the death.
I know.
Okay.
So, it was on every news station. Everyone was paying attention to the story, including a man named Jimmy Dalton. Jimmy was a friend of Roy Norris's from prison. Jimmy was out of prison at this point. So earlier that month.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Your computer died, didn't it?
Oh no, I was just saying because you said the whole Santa Claus incident.
Oh, y'all missed
Let's get back to this story.
Continue.
I don't want to
I
know.
Said Santa Claus?
You said ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. I Let's said no, no, story. No.
I heard ho, ho, ho. It's been a long day. So, earlier that month, Roy had told Jimmy all about these crimes. Roy had been bragging about the things they were doing. But Jimmy didn't believe it, so he didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
So Jimmy sees the news and hears about the murder and realizes, you know, the injuries she had were the exact things that Roy had explained to him. So Jimmy decided to go talk to his lawyer, who he trusted, so, you know, to ask what
Jimmy,
to do.
Jimmy.
Jimmy saved the day here.
I know, so, that's why I said Jimmy.
So the lawyer convinced him to tell police. So they went to the LAPD and told police.
Good
the LAPD
Jimmy.
Then passed him to the Hermosa Beach police since, you know, that's where the body was found.
Yes.
The detective and Jimmy talked. So the detective believed everything Jimmy was saying, even though there was no evidence to support this. So the detective also remembered a report that came in a month prior that a girl had made. Remember Shirley Sanders?
Yeah.
So, detective decided to send police to Shirley Sanders' house with a bunch of photographs of mugshots of random guys. She looked them over very, very carefully, trying to remember what the men had looked like. Eventually, she found two. Lawrence Bittaker and Roy Norris.
Oh!
Ooh! Okay.
Oh, that's bad.
Well, bad
well,
for
that's
them.
Good.
Bad good for them. Her, bad for them. So, instead of making arrests right away, they decided to surveil the two. They wanted to have a strong case against them. So, Roy Norris had been selling weed, which is a parole violation. They charged him on suspicion of kidnap and rape of Shirley Sanders. So, they questioned him for a very long time. In the beginning, you know, he held strong and didn't admit to anything, but after hours and hours of interrogating him, he broke. He confessed to the murders, but he made it seem like Lawrence Bittaker was the ringleader. When they questioned Bittaker, he blamed it all on Norris, you know, like they do.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Okay, so Lawrence Bittaker got it worse in the end, which they both were as equally responsible for this, so I think they both should have gotten responsible. But, so you know how Roy Norris is trying to blame it all on Lawrence. Technically, in my opinion, I think Roy started all of this.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, look at what he was before. I mean, Lawrence was nothing great either. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's more Roy was more the ringleader here.
Yeah.
But I mean, hey, they both should have gotten the same amount of
punishment.
Yeah,
I feel like
here.
They both should have kind of, you know.
Yeah. So, Roy Norris claimed he was on drugs the whole time and didn't remember anything. They did a search of the van, and they found the audio tapes.
Damn.
This made it very clear that Roy Norris was a willing participant. And in order to escape the death penalty, Roy took a plea deal and turned on Bittaker. He got life in prison and turned for his testimony at Lord Bittaker's trial. So, February of 1980, Roy took the DA and the detective along with a mountain rescue team to the area where he remembered dumping the young women's bodies. They found the decomposed remains of Leah Lamp and Jackie Gillum, but the bodies of Sydney Schaefer and Andrea Hall have never been found.
Are you kidding? So what if they're still, like, alive?
Oh, they're not alive, I'll tell you that.
But we don't know that.
Yes, we do. They were very much so dead. Jocelyn, they killed them.
They say they killed them.
They were dead. I also have something to tell you after this about this, but we'll finish the story first. So, Roy Norris was sentenced to 45 years to life and would spend a minimum of 30 years before being eligible for parole. He was up for parole in 2010, but obviously was denied. So, Lawrence Bittaker...
He was denied.
Well, it's a good thing he was denied.
So, I know, that's why I said ha-ha.
Yeah. So, Lawrence Bittaker went on trial, and the DA wanted the death penalty. So, the DA was so disturbed by the details of the crime that he actually cried twice during the trial. Which, you know, it's clearly not right if that happened.
Yeah.
So, the DA took the audio tapes to Lawrence's lawyer's office and played it for the defense attorney. So, one of the defense attorneys actually ran out of the room. And the other was begging the DA to turn it off.
Oh my god. It was that bad?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Damn.
What else did you expect? They filmed all of this. Still defended Bittaker. Yeah, they kind of had to. But, you know, whatever. After 3 weeks, the trial ended and Bittaker was found guilty with all 5 murders, along with 21 other charges.
Oh, wait, so they have the tapes of these... Yes. Now I feel dumb, man. I feel dumb.
Why do you feel dumb?
Because I said maybe they're still alive when they obviously did.
They have tapes of these girls
realize that. I guess I wasn't, like, listening.
So, where was I? Oh, yeah, so at the sentencing, the prosecutors had to show special circumstances that call for the death penalty. So, especially in a state like California. So, you know what their special circumstances was?
What?
They played all the audio recordings for the jury. Which has got to be traumatizing.
Oh, my.
But anyway, so Lawrence Bittaker was sentenced to death. I mean, it could be worse. Remember in the Ken and Barbie trial, they even made their mother, like the mothers of these victims, the parents, listen to these tapes, which is terrible. Made the parents and the families listen to their children be killed. But we're not getting into that. That's another case. Yeah. This, they did not play it in front of any, you know, bystanders.
Well, hey, that's good.
Well, yeah. So, Lawrence Bittaker was sentenced to death. His attorneys wrote multiple appeals, which delayed his execution for years. Lawrence Bittaker died December 13th, 2019, at 79 years old of natural causes. So, he actually died on Friday the 13th.
I'm laughing at, like, karma.
He died on Friday the 13th.
Was it October?
No, it was December.
Damn.
So, when FBI agents are, like, you know, new recruits and started working in a unit where they, like, profile killers, they are actually... listen, they have the tapes played. Yeah, they have to listen to these audio tapes to see how really evil the people that they are dealing with are. They make them listen to these tapes. Okay, so there's this girl, I cannot remember what her name is, but she's interviewed well over 30 killers, I think.
So she interviewed these two?
She interviewed Lawrence Bittaker for years. Like, you know, worked with him. And she actually wrote a book about it that came out in January of last year. No, January of 2020, sorry. And apparently he actually left his like home to her because he had no one else. So actually in the home she found these coded thing like codes he left for her to lead her to where the other two bodies were.
Oh.
So they're working on decoding those. You know, maybe they will find these bodies. I mean, chances are they won't. If it was in the 70s or 80s or something, you know, probably decomposed and eaten by now. But still, I think that's crazy. Maybe. I'm curious about something. Hold on. I need to see. What's that dude's name? Roy Norris. I spent all day searching this, and I was like, what's his name? Let me see when he died. I know he's dead, right? I'm so confused. Oh, so Roy Norris died February 24th of 2020.
Oh.
That was very recent.
Yeah.
Both of them died very recent. One 2019 and one 2020. So, that's what I have for today. Sorry for the traumatizing case. It was very hard to research, I'll be honest here. It's just like, oh my god. I think it's insane that when there's these tapes that these killers record, that they make these people listen to it. Like I said, in the Ken and Barbie case, that was actually, that was the second murder when we did. Ooh. But anyway, you know how they made their families and the people there listen to them? Only the jury and stuff had to watch it. But in this case, it was just audio. They only played it for the jury and the defense attorney, but it's just, I don't know. And they play it for the FBI recruits and stuff. It's just like, oh my god. Imagine having to listen to that. It's traumatizing. I mean, it's literally a torture and murder of a human being.
Yeah. But, you know. I don't think I could do that. I really...
No.
Anyways, thank you guys for listening. I think just then I didn't get the hint, so...
What?
Have a good night, everyone. Have a good night, everyone.
That was our second story of our theme month.
That's true.
Another new song. Oh, bye.